ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio, on channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 18th of April. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon. Nice to be back after that news interlude.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of things happening.
Oh,
apparently, we're looking at a general election soon as well, possibly. Interesting times. And Donald with his bomb and all kinds.
God, that thing was enormous, wasn't it?
Did you see the footage from the American military of it going off?
I saw some stills. Yeah. It was quite frightening, wasn't it?
I was a bit, I don't really want to talk about it a lot, but it was interesting because they said, oh, it's the first time they've ever dropped it, but I don't think that's true. Because they used to call them ground busters, and they dropped one in Afghanistan before. They're specifically delivered to break up caves and underground tunnels and bunkers, which is what they do. But it's a bit of a humdinger.
And they explode above the ground, which I found quite interesting. And then they suck all, a bit like an atom bomb, really. They suck all the kind of the air and the energy
and
in from around them.
It crushes it underneath,
But the Russians have got an even bigger one. I mean, this was, I think this was it 12,000 pounds? It was 12 tons or something.
Yeah.
And the Russians have got one that's 30 odd tons.
Yeah. Can't lift it, though.
Unbelievable.
And the North Koreans have got a cardboard one.
Scary, isn't it? Scary. Anyway, back to more important matters. There's a new networking event. In fact, there's two. It's an inaugural meeting on the 26th of April, 10:30 to 12, and it's happening at Squerry's Tasting Rooms in Westerham. Do you know that, Paul? Have you been there before?
I do know Squerry's, yes. I know Henry, that owns it,
So it's on Beggars Lane, TN16 1QP. We are pleased to announce an exciting new business networking event for Westerham on the 26th of April, 10:30 to 12, kindly hosted by Squerry's, and to be held at the stunning new Squerry's Tasting Rooms. The Westerham Town Partnership, the Westerham Business Breakfast Club and Squerry's are working with the support of the Seven Oaks and District Chamber of Commerce to launch a Westerham Fourth Wednesday networking event. So it's going to be happening every month on the Fourth Wednesday. Let's see, booking on. 50% discount on the entrance fee will be offered for this inaugural event, and entrance will be just £5. So it's normally £10, £5 as a one-off. If you're currently a member of the Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce, entrance is free. So fantastic. Sounds like a lot of fun. You need to contact info@sevenoakschamber.com to let them know you're coming. Or speak to a lady called Julie Phillips at the Chamber on 01732 455 188. I'm off to Westerham, actually, in a couple of weeks' time.
I've got a
golf match up there, and I'm staying with my friend's sister that evening. So I'm really looking forward to that. Is it... I can't remember the name of it. You carry on.
What, Westerham Golf Course?
Yeah, it's not Westerham, is this another one? Something Manor. Woodlands Manor, is it?
Oh, could be, yeah.
Yeah, just before the London Club on the left.
It's a nice place, Westerham.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Cool. Release Your Brilliance. Not you, because you can't go. It's on Thursday the 4th of May from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and it's at the Chilston Park Hotel at Lenham. It's a lovely venue, Chilston Park. Are you a woman? Do you want to stand up, stand out and feel great as a business owner or within your company? Are you getting what you want? Are you where you want to be? Are you good enough? We need to talk about the bits that are letting you down. I know what bits are letting you down. Enough's enough. Three inspiring ladies, each an expert in their field, have joined together to bring you this full day, full immersion event. Ali Harold, who's the founder of Ali Harold Coaching, Deborah Turner, founder of U-Image Consultancy, and the lovely Sarah Ann Lucas, affectionately known by me as Bird, founder of Bird on a Bike. You'll find your voice, you'll know what to wear, you'll be the most important person you know. Join us at this full-day immersion event designed specifically for you. For more details and to book your visit, go to our website, which is www.releaseyourbrilliance.co.uk.
It's a full immersion event.
Absolutely.
And it's ladies only.
It's ladies ongoing.
You'll be outside peeping through the glass.
I'll be banging on the window going, let me in. I've got my pink tutu on, let me in.
Fantastic. There's another, the second new networking that I wanted to talk about. It's called Friday. This is quite novel. Friday Not Working.
Wow. So, I see what they did there.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had to read it.
That's almost as good as Slope Off Friday, isn't it?
So yeah. This is the very talented team at E-Commerce Workroom in Canterbury, who are going to be holding on the 21st of April, that's this Friday, from 4 o'clock onwards, a warm and welcoming informal networking gathering at a very nice pub in Canterbury called the White Hart. And I had lunch there a couple of weeks ago. It's very nice. It's sort of, well, it's hard to explain. It's round one of the back streets. It's a Shepherd Neame pub. So simply turn up on the day, grab a drink and start connecting. We hope to see you there. So that's this Friday. It's Friday not working, but it's after 4 o'clock. So, you know. I'm sure you can get away with
that. Who works after 4 o'clock on a Friday anyway? That's not a dumb thing, is it?
Get yourselves along to a lovely pub in Canterbury and meet some like-minded business people.
Martin, join us for a super glitzy, glamorous evening of fine dining and entertainment. Linda and Mario Garcia, Pink Charity Gala Ball in aid of breast cancer now. On Thursday the 11th of May at the Ashford International Hotel, 6:30 p.m. until late. The evening will begin with reception drinks and entertainment from jazz singer Lisa Barrett-Smith, whose magical voice covering songs from the Great American Songbook will set the mood for the evening. During the sumptuous three-course dinner with wine, am I tempting you yet? You will be entertained by the world-famous magician, guess who?
Etienne Pradier,
yeah. His unique skills and charismatic personality have established him as one of the finest exponents of close-up magic. Etienne will also be doing an after-dinner show to keep us entertained. I once saw him take a lady's bra off without her noticing. Following Etienne's performance, the amazing evening's entertainment will continue with the fantastic Jason Alan Sway performing tribute music of the great Michael Bublé. Voted Best Male Vocalist at the National Entertainment Award, Jason Alan is fast becoming one of the finest and most talked-about singers in the UK. We'll spend the rest of the evening dancing the night away with a beautiful vocal duo, Here Come the Girls. Oh, that's Donna and Joe. They've been on this station a few times. Who specialise in performing feel-good party music to ensure a full dance floor at any event. The evening will be coordinated with the help of our Master of Ceremonies, Barnaby Winter, with some great auction and raffle prizes up for grabs, a fun photo booth and lots more. All of this has been put together with the help of the fabulous Amanda Flanders of Butterflies and Dreams Events. Linda Garcia, who's director of Aluxi Consulting, said, "We're looking forward to a great evening at the ball and we hope to raise lots of money for breast cancer now. And now's vital research to stop women dying of breast cancer." I happen to know that Linda is a survivor of breast cancer herself. This very worthy cause is so close to my heart. Oh, she says, yeah, sorry. Having survived the disease myself and now celebrating my sixth year of being cancer free. So Breast Cancer Now said, "We really appreciate this event being organised by Linda and Mario to enable Breast Cancer Now to fund research into the causes of breast cancer and to develop better treatments. For more details and to book your tickets, which are a mere 75 quid each, or you can book a table of 10 for the price of 9. So you get one place free, basically. If you want to do that, email pinkcharityball@aluxi, that's A-L-L-U-X-I, pinkcharityball@aluxi.co.uk, or you can go to Butterflies and Dreams Events, that's spelt out in full, butterfliesanddreamsevents.co.uk/charitygala.
And that's on Thursday the 11th of May.
Yep. I'm going.
The Great Danes, isn't it?
No, Ashford International.
Oh, Ashford International. I do apologise.
You've gone to the wrong place.
Gosh. Ashford International.
Ashford International.
I've got my ticket.
Good.
Fantastic. On my way. I couldn't find anyone to go with, but I'll go. I wanted to get the spare one. I offered loads of people that I could be their spare ticket, but nobody wanted to know for some reason. I know, it's not fair, is it? Billy No Mates.
You'll meet some new friends on the night, I'm sure.
I'm living in hope.
Yeah. Now, you and I were at a really interesting Bank of England round table a couple of weeks ago, weren't we?
We were.
In Rochester, which I thought was... great opportunity for the bank to tell us about what they're up to and where they see the economy going, but more importantly for the bank to listen to small business owners about where they see the economy currently.
Yep.
And there's another one happening. It's a little bit further ahead, so you've got more time to book on, but it is incredibly popular. So if you want to go, I suggest you do it now. book on that. It's on Wednesday the 18th of October, 12 to 2. It's at the Innovation Centre in Medway again. Mm-hmm. And you will hear from one of the bank's spokesperson recently.
It's Alex College.
Same chap again.
Alex. Yeah, it's Alex College. He's the agent for South East England,
yeah.
For the Bank of England. And it's a really interesting event.
There's a bit of lunch. Obviously, parking's not a problem either. So you'll find that. It's an FSB event, and it's on Eventbrite. So that'll be the lovely Alison Palmer hosting that on the day, no doubt.
Absolutely.
It's my birthday. It's my birthday on the 18th of October.
Happy birthday, man. Yeah.
Thank you very much. 21, I hope there'll be cake for me on there.
Yeah.
We won't mind if you're not there, then.
Well, there's free lunch.
Yeah, come on. If we bring our own candles, they better have a sandwich. We can put a candle in. A little way off that one. Yeah. Listen, we're going to talk to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the show, Catherine Holt.
Hello.
Hello, Catherine. And Catherine's with, I've got to read this because to get it right, at Sahota Newcomb Scott Solicitors.
Indeed, yeah.
Who I call SNS Law because I'm just lazy. But Sahota Newcomb Scott, and you're based in Maidstone, aren't you?
We are, yes.
Cool. So tell us a bit about Catherine, first of all. What's your background? What do you do? What do you specialise in? She looks bossy to me. Do you think?
Depends how far back you want to go. I mean, you were saying earlier about.
Well, you're not that old, are you? You're quite young.
Oh, thank you. I chose my career path when I was four.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. My mum pointed out that I'd get paid to argue if I'd be a solicitor. So
you were stroppy when you were four as well, were you?
Blimey. Much, and I thought I could make a career out of it. So. So I, strong academic subjects and, trajectory.
But I'm interested in this because obviously you had some innate talent, is what you're saying, really, if I'd stop being rude to you. Do you know when you actually decided you wanted to study law or be a lawyer or?
Well, it was just from that moment.
Really?
Because all you had to do.
Did you walk around as a 4-year-old with a wig and a black coat and a little black hat going, I'm sitting at you to death?
No, but all I had to do was to try hard and do well, and that seemed like a pretty good thing to be inspired to do.
Sure.
So I just sort of did that and then, followed the path and ended up becoming a solicitor as my lifetime's ambition.
Okay, cool. That's fantastic.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It is unusual, isn't it? Because one of the things you find is, a lot of people have an ambition, and then when it starts to come to fruition, they go, oh, I don't like this. And I had a friend who was a lawyer. He just had a solicitor's practice in Sevenoaks. He had qualified in law. He'd always wanted to study law. He became a lawyer. And he hated every single minute of it from that moment on. And what he really wanted to do was to be a flamenco guitarist.
Wow.
And he was a really good flamenco guitarist, and he produced his own records and all kinds of stuff, and he was really quite well known as a flamenco guitarist. He just couldn't earn as much as he could being a solicitor. And he hated being a solicitor. Sorry, Clive, for giving your secrets away, but he hated being a solicitor. But, ask him to pay you a tune with some castanets and you're away. Anyway, so...
You don't fall into that category by the sounds of it. You love being a solicitor.
I do love being a solicitor. And the thing I've discovered since becoming a solicitor is that depending on your personality type, there are so many different types of solicitor you can be.
Mm.
If you're somebody that doesn't really enjoy people and you prefer detail, you can become a contracts lawyer and look at detail. If you like interacting with people and arguing, then by all means become a litigation solicitor. Mm.
That is a perfect example of something that I talk about a lot when I'm talking to young people. When I talk to young people about choosing their work stream, what I say to them is don't pick a job because that's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. What you need to do is pick a set of transferable skills that you find enjoyable. And there are only three transferable skills: skills with people, skills with data, and skills with things. And you've just hit the nail on the head, Catherine, because you can do the same job using a completely different skill set in a completely different way and be perfectly happy doing it. Yeah. So, to put it in my terms, what you've just said, somebody that's a data person is happier reading contracts, conveyancing, doing all that admin type stuff that drives me nuts. Whereas someone that loves to argue, represent and to debate things, a people person, can do the kind of work you do.
Indeed. And it's not just arguing. A lot of it is to do with getting to know.
Yes, it
client.
Is. Oh no, it's not.
Yeah, a lot of it's to do with understanding your client, understanding your client's wishes, where their aims are, whether they've got the first to fight it to the end, what's in their best interest.
It's very much a people activity, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, it's completely. Yeah. It's all the law is a complete social construct. So it's all about getting to know what your client wants to do, what your client's perspective is, but also advising on you know the legal. Qualities of their case, but bearing in mind what they want to do and how what they want to achieve. So it's all about your client.
Absolutely.
So listening, in other words, Paul. And I
that's a blank face.
Sorry,
there.
did you hear a noise then? I thought I heard a whine somewhere. Anyway,
I came in today with Catherine having given you at least an hour's free listening advice to your multitude of litigation issues that
Absolutely.
You've got on the table.
I got her pinned in the corner when she arrived, and I went, now sort this out for me now, Catherine, right now.
So not only have you got to be highly articulate and intelligent, but you've
lost
also,
me now. He's lost me now. He's lost me now.
You've also got to have a pair of ears as well.
Absolutely. No, you're right. You are right. It is about listening as much as anything else. You've got to discern where people are coming from. I have to tell you, I saw something funny on Twitter yesterday. It was an American that posted it, and it was a firm of attorneys in the US, and they had a billboard, an advertising billboard, and it just said, "Just because you did it doesn't mean you're guilty."
Really? That's a really interesting sort
of interesting
topic,
proposition, isn't it?
Catherine, do you think we're going down the kind of American model, the kind of, you know, the sue regardless kind of route, or?
I think we're very different people, but I think there's an awful lot of scope for litigation. I mean, people have rights, people know their rights, people want to be heard nowadays, and I think there is, you know, more scope for that.
It's interesting. I mean, you'll tell me if I'm wrong here, but my belief is that in American law, they don't have as stringent libel laws as we do. So it's much harder to sue someone in America for libel than it is here. But then the Americans are more litigious about everything else. Yes. Yet we have, if for want of a better word, better laws that you can perpetrate on someone if you want to, but they sue more. It's weird. But I don't know if you can confirm that, but quite a few people have told me that American libel law isn't quite as robust as it is here.
To be honest, I only know about the UK law. I'm not sure about American law, to be fair.
Cool. That was an unfair question, Mr.
No, I wasn't.
Totally
I wasn't,
out of order.
I'm just not paying a fee. Because
have you got problems out there as well? Have you got litigation cases going on?
I've been looking for a reason not to pay a fee for all the free advice he's given me, and I found it now.
Yeah, Catherine, you don't need to give him any more advice today.
If I was in Turkmenistan, right? If I was in Turkmenistan and I had a problem with...
You and Ken Heron have fallen out, haven't you? Down in Florida, that's what it is.
Well, I only called him names, and there was, you know, enough. So, tell us a little bit about your firm as well, because you're a relatively new firm. And by that, I mean, you get loads of lawyers that claim they've been law firms since, you know, 1247 or something, and were at the original signing of the Magna Carta or some such stuff. But SNS Law are a bit newer than that, aren't you?
We're growing. We've been around for a couple of years. Yeah. And, we've been expanding. Each of the lawyers are fully qualified solicitors. I've got 12 years experience as a solicitor.
She doesn't look old enough, does she?
So kind.
She started when she was four, remember?
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's true, man. Yeah. Actually, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
I have to say,
so she's 16. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Having met Gareth and John, Catherine is a very welcome addition to the team.
Well, she's certainly prettier. That's for sure. Yeah.
And we've got Richard as well. Richard Salvage is our family lawyer.
Right.
So we've all got our little areas of expertise, but we all do litigation. And we also, dispute resolution. So we've all got our own little areas of that. So Richard primarily deals with family law, and he's very good. Gareth, I've seen him doing some marvellous things with contentious probate and property litigation. And John's dealing with employment law, and he also does wills and probate. And my background is primarily in crime, and I used to do criminal defence work, and then I went into local.
I'm glad she quantified that. I thought she was going to cop for something there. So I did a post office once.
Just because you did it doesn't make you guilty.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to do criminal defence work. So I used to do police station work, police station accredited. And then I went into local government. I used to work for Kent County Council. with my friend here. And I used to, on the other side, prosecute offences, regulatory matters, health and safety breaches, fire safety regulation breaches. So now I'm on the outside.
Poacher term, gamekeeper now.
Indeed, indeed. So now I can represent and look after businesses, companies who are being investigated or prosecuted.
And is that your personal area of expertise?
That's my niche, but I also deal with property litigation and civil litigation and lots of other areas of dispute resolution. But there aren't that many solicitors who have been within local authorities who have been prosecuting matters who are now defending.
If you don't mind, obviously I realise we can't name names. You can tell me later. Just talking in general about the kind of work that you do, what are the kind of cases that you're finding yourself looking after these days?
Nowadays, I'm trying to get more into property litigation because there's basically more money in it, and it's very I find litigation very interesting because the law in itself is very technical, and there's so many different points you can argue.
Don't you find that the law's getting more vague as it goes on? That I talk to people, not just lawyers, but all kinds of people about all kinds of things, and there just seems to be so many laws and so many things conflate with each other that it almost becomes a matter of opinion whether it's a law or not, if you see what I mean.
Well, they say if you get four lawyers and ask them the same question, you'll get four different answers.
The
thing is that the lawyers use the information available to them to try and work out what the court will decide and what the best way forward is. And hopefully the matter can be dealt with before it gets to court. So you're looking at some negotiation points that you can raise and use to your advantage. So the vagueness, I don't think there's more vagueness. It's more, there are just more and more cases, so things have been argued previously, but there are always arguments to be had, and that's the fun of it, really.
Because a lot of the law is about interpretation, isn't it?
It's all interpretation.
It sounds to me like you're trying to weedle out of something there and you're after some more free advice.
I'm
Paul.
Sure I can help.
There is a saying, I think, isn't there, Catherine, that's if you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So just try and remember that.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that the CCTV image isn't admissible. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I want to ask you about fraud. Because
your help.
I've got
a scam.
Maybe
on a very basic level.
Sorry to interrupt. Did you see this morning in the papers? They found $43 million in cash in an abandoned apartment room in Nigeria. So of course everybody's been going, hold on a minute, that's mine. I've got the email.
Is fraud something that you're coming across increasingly more with regard to businesses, for example, and litigation? Are they being defrauded? I mean, we had a lady on Jackie Offen recently talking about cybercrime, for example, and how businesses are being defrauded through, Phishing or whatever it might be. Is that something you're increasingly getting involved with or not seeing it yet?
I haven't seen it personally, but I haven't dealt with fraud for a number of years because I used to prosecute fraud for the council as part of the training standards work that we used to do. So I think it's now easier and the officers are more trained and better at picking up the evidence and collecting the evidence to be able to prove it. As far as, generally the way the world is working, I suppose it's the law has changed to make the theft and deception offences become fraud. Mm-hmm. So the name has changed, but the offences were always there.
I've just had a tweet from Neil at FMRC, who are Fraud Management Resource Centre. He says, Paul, give us a shout out because we're Fraud Management Resource Centre and we help businesses prevent, deter and respond to fraud and other financial crime.
Right. Well, so there you go.
It just struck me that in our everyday lives we come across fraud the whole time. I mean, the Nigerian email kind of scam example, whatever it might be. I mean, I've got a friend that was trying to sell his son's car recently on wherever it was, on a car trading site, and he was going to take a PayPal payment for it. Well, this guy wanted to pay via PayPal. But apparently there's a scam now where people will then stop the payment going. Having taken your car away, they'll then stop the payment and PayPal will come down on the side of the buyer and not the vendor, which I found quite remarkable. So I was just wondering whether that had resulted in a kind of a multitude of of new kind of litigation.
Technology is moving that way, so the more ways that you can pay for things, the easier it is, or the more chances people have to commit fraud. It hasn't come across my desk yet, thankfully. But,
all right, cool. We could talk about this for a long time, Catherine. Sadly, we're running out of time. If people want to find out more about you and SNS Law, how can they do that?
We've got a website, sns_law.co.uk, and come and find us. We're based in Maidstone, and if you've got any disputes that need resolving, get in touch.
I'll be round in a minute. I've got loads.
That's also the Twitter handle, by the way, as well, @SNS_law.
Yeah.
And John, by the way, is a master blog writer, isn't he?
He
often contributes, I know, to Supply My Business with some really insightful blogs.
We publish some of those blogs through the Business Bunker Radio site as well, and there's a few real humdingers of his.
Well, I think he wrote one recently about religious icons, didn't he? Burkas and crosses in the workplace.
Religious wear in the workplace.
Just incredible, you know, the amount of detail and the amount of things that employers need to be aware of today from a kind of a non-discriminatory point of view and what they, you know, have to do and not do, more importantly, in the workplace. So, fascinating.
Catherine, thank you so much for that. We're fast running out of time. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Catherine Holt, solicitor extraordinaire, stroppy person. Combination of...
Free advisor to Paul Andrews.
16-year-old litigation lawyer. Catherine, sorry about all that. Do follow SNS Law and Catherine. But for the moment, thank you very much. And do you know what we're going to do? We're going to move straight on to our next guest, lovely Joanna Osborne of Scarlett Financial Services. Joanne, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us what it is you do?
Okay. We're a mortgage and insurance brokers. There's a team of four of us based in the lovely Evegate. So there's myself and...
You're based in Evegate? I want to talk to you.
Yes. We take Wellington boots to work and we walk around the field.
Oh, is it that bad?
No, it's lovely.
Is it?
So yeah, in a really nice environment. There's a team of four, two advisors. We've got one lady, Jess, training to be an advisor at the moment.
Okay.
So I think in the office she's doing practice exams while I'm sitting here having a nice afternoon. And a very busy full-time administrator called Molly.
Fantastic. So I missed the first bit. You're doing
mortgage and insurance brokers.
Mortgage and insurance. Yes. Okay. And just to clear up the insurance bit of that, is that property insurance or everything?
No, so effectively with mortgages we help people to find the best lender for their individual circumstances. Mm. With insurances we deal with all the horrible things that can happen in life, so life cover, critical illness cover.
And Martin. You can insure me against Martin.
Well, Martin fell from a tree, I believe, recently.
He did. He was sat on a branch, sawing the branch. Yeah.
And apparently he was too heavy for that branch.
Yeah. Who'd have thought it?
It was rotten.
Yeah.
So for individuals, healthcare, life cover, insurance, and critical illness, and the same thing for businesses as well. So that's what we work with.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Mortgages.
Yes.
Let's have a little look at mortgages. Being of the old persuasion, I've been around a long time, and buying a house and obtaining a mortgage has changed quite significantly over the last few years. When I bought my first house and I took out a mortgage through a building society, which is the kind of thing that people did then, I took out a mortgage. I borrowed £12,000 to buy a house. The interest on that was 8%, and I took it out in May, and by November of the same year, interest was 17%, and nobody batted an eyelid, because that's what happened all the time then. And then the second mortgage I took out was what they...
No,
they didn't have trackers.
Endowment.
I'm old. It was an endowment mortgage, and that turned out to be a disaster eventually, although it was a good idea at the time. So we've had lots of different mortgage types. We have repayment mortgages, endowment mortgages, interest-only mortgages and all kinds of things in between. And now we do tracker mortgages and all that. But the mortgage market's changed, and it's changed fundamentally because we don't have interest rates anymore. The government did away with interest rates because we have fiat currencies and therefore they can manipulate the interest rate. But in recent years... And certainly since the financial crisis, it became difficult again to get a mortgage. But I think that's changing now.
Yes, so what lenders started to do was work around affordability. Because What everyone was concerned about is that me and you remember 15, 17% interest rates. Lots of people now don't remember rates that being that high.
They're not as old as me. They never lived that long.
Or me.
Yeah.
You don't need to flatter him, Gerard. You don't remember those.
He does, but you don't. I do, unfortunately. And what everyone's really fearful of is that people take the mortgages out now and they need to be careful with stress testing. So the interest rates will go up at some point. So what they don't want people to do is overcommit themselves and find that in 2 or 3 years' time they've got problems.
It does make me laugh, though, because they go, you know, interest rates are supposed to be at 2%. That's the Bank of England's target eventually. They ain't never going to get there. But let's say it did, you know, and I'm going, I had 8% and it went to 17 and nobody bothered about my stress levels.
That's what they're trying to plan for.
Yeah, sure.
So we went for a period of lenders being really, really tight, really difficult with borrowing. But recently it's changing. A few new lenders are coming into the market and they're being far more creative for what they're looking to do. And there's one lender who's actually not credit scoring. So there's no computers, there's no computer involvement.
Right.
It's a human being looking at an individual application and just looking at them as a person rather than the whole, you know, you don't fit or you do fit kind of scenario.
Because it's interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of our listeners are self-employed and they haven't got hope in hell of getting a mortgage. You know, it's really difficult. But also the other big thing that we've talked about as a society an awful lot is young people getting on the housing ladder. And being able to not to get a mortgage necessarily, just be able to afford anything because, you know, asset prices are going through the roof because of the fact that we've got a low interest environment. Most of the money is being made on asset prices rather than on income. So the disparity is getting wider and wider and wider. Can you see any way that the mortgage offerers can reduce that? I mean, the kind of thing I'm thinking of is that you're going to end up having to offer 40 or 50 year mortgages.
Yeah, well, there is a trend now for mortgages going up to age 85.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So if you have pensions in place, you can typically go to 75 to 85. So, you know, as a society, we're working longer, we're working till we're older. But a lot of lenders are trying to help first time buyers with some schemes. Things like the Family Springboard Scheme, where effectively, last couple of years, parents have had to give their children deposits to help them to get on the market. Now you can deposit that money into the actual bank. So the 10% deposit, you can pay it into a bank for 3 years. At the end of the 3 years, the parents can get the money back as long as the payments are up to date. So it's a much more comfortable option for parents if they've got more than, you know, 2 or 3 children.
Okay.
That's a really good idea, actually.
It is.
So the parents fund the deposit in the form of a loan themselves.
Yeah.
And then they get it back after 3 years.
Absolutely.
So that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
I think the financial marketplace probably is the one that will help resolve the problem in terms of how they package and offer their products. One of the things I thought about, I have no idea if this is a thing, it's just I was thinking about it, is to offer like a shared mortgage where you could take it out for like 90 years, but your children inherit the mortgage, if you see what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there is the lifetime mortgages options, but it's not actively promoted at the moment.
Right, okay.
But it does make sense because, you know, it's a box and you live there and you pay money for it and it could be just passed on. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're not talking about funding another subprime kind of scenario here, or are we? I mean, if it's gone, you know, it seems to me that after the last financial crisis, everything got incredibly tight. There was no liquidity in the market.
Yeah.
And now it sounds almost like we've gone further than we were before in terms of the lackness of it.
To do now is in subprime situations, they're treating people like individuals.
Yeah.
So if somebody was unfortunate enough to become a bankrupt or get behind on payments, if there was a life event or a business event that triggered that, they are listening to them and they are you know, looking at them rather than making them pay over the odds.
Yeah, the subprime thing was a particular set of circumstances. And the reality was it wasn't actually the mortgages that went wrong. It was the derivatives. It was mortgage-backed securities that went wrong because people invested a lot of money in mortgage-backed securities and they didn't know what they had in their portfolio. And when they looked, half the stuff in their portfolio was junk, which invalidated the value of their overall portfolio.
Yeah.
That's what went wrong.
Yeah. But the fact is that there were mortgages being issued in the States when they shouldn't have been because there was no chance of them ever being paid back.
Yeah, but that was a Fannie Mae. That was a government-backed scheme.
Mm.
And that's what you get when politicians involve themselves in markets.
But going back to the earlier, the new lender, that's why you need humans. You need proper underwriters that understand the person and their circumstances, not just a computer.
Yeah, so you do it on an individual basis. And funnily enough, that takes us right back to when I was a kid and taking out my mortgage and you joined a building society and you paid in savings to a building society and you couldn't borrow anything for a minimum of 2 years. Mm. And then, you know, you rocked up and the building society manager went, now then, Paul, you put some money in, you took it out. You put some money in, you took it out. You're either doing the okey-cokey or you're saving for a mortgage. You know, and I'm not giving you a mortgage until I can see a better pattern of saving. Mm. You know, so they treated you as an individual.
It literally meant building society, didn't it? Yeah. You know, you were paying money to build a house.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. That's right. And of course that changed when we you know, fully delinked money in the 70s from the gold standard at Bretton Woods, and Nixon went for a full-blown fiat currency. From that point on, all of that fell apart because it didn't have any rationale anymore, because everything's now driven by debt, including the government that has, last count, $5 trillion worth of debt. But that's not your fault, Joanne. We're not holding you entirely to blame.
Bringing all that back to first-time buyer mortgages, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but the problem is that is what has caused the problem, because they've created an asset bubble, which means that house prices have gone up and up and up. And in the southeast of England, no one can afford to buy a house from scratch. Yeah, it's almost impossible to buy a house.
Well, we haven't been building any, have we?
No, we build loads, but you can't buy them because they're too expensive.
We've got a shortage of 250,000 houses a year.
Yeah.
We're just not building enough homes. That's the reality. Because nobody wants homes on their field where they live or wherever. I mean, you know, that's the reality of it, isn't it? Nobody wants a plot on the landscape.
But the problem still comes down to, as far as our discussion with Joanne is concerned, is that someone's got to be able to afford to buy those homes when they're built. Mm. And that's the difficult thing. You know, when the starting price of a cardboard box in Ashford, they've just built 11,000 cardboard boxes here, and the starting price of one of those cardboard boxes is £300,000. Mm. How does a 19, 20, 21-year-old do that? Yeah. Especially when a lot of 19, 20 and 21-year-olds have got £40,000 worth of debt already from their university.
Well, that's a good point, Joanne. Mm. So what's the kind of percentage of affordable housing that's being built versus kind of, you know, the top end of the market stuff? Is the balance right there? And
there's still the Help to Buy schemes where you can get 20% equity free loan, which does help people. But there's still a shortage. I think there always will be, especially in areas like we are here, because people are moving away from London because it's more affordable down here.
Pushing the prices up.
Yeah, and that's pushed prices up. So it's really difficult.
Yeah.
A good initiative, which obviously isn't a good thing for buy-to-let landlords, is that the things that are making it more difficult for buy-to-let landlords is freeing up some property for first-time buyers.
Mm.
So every first-time buyer that's looking to try a property, they're not competing with 10 landlords and 10 other first-time buyers. Mm-hmm. So that's helping a little bit. But it's still very difficult, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing Joanne does, of course, is business protection, isn't it? That's something that you guys are very hot on as well. What exactly?
Exactly, like bouncers.
Exactly.
It's not like people who walk around with a bulge under their coat.
I was just going to say, what does that actually mean?
I think it's something that Paul needs, actually, from the sounds of it. But effectively, business protection is helping businesses to plan for things that may happen. So a bit like you're falling out of your tree. We feel really passionately that lots of individuals think about what happens to them if they were to die or they were to be poorly. In a business, it's even more important. So if one of the directors, there's two directors in the company, one of them is to die, what happens in that situation? Mm. So he's responsible to his customers, his employers, his customers, suppliers, and his employees.
Mm-hmm.
So people should really plan for that. People
and partners and other shareholders,
all that kind of stuff,
quite importantly.
Is that key man insurance that you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think people understand and never heard of key person cover. Person now, Paul, not key man.
Not key man. They've allowed women in. What's the world coming to?
And going back to the skill shortage, that's more about having the money back in the business to find that particular person with special skills or expertise in that area. But the other areas are shareholder protection and loan protection. And sometimes they're more, you know, If I was to die today on the way home from this lovely interview, the other director, Matt, he would want to take over the business.
Mm.
My husband doesn't want to have anything to do with financial services. So you need to have things in place that the business continues.
So an insurance in that example would pay out to enable Matt to actually buy your equity.
Let's see if I've got this right. So what happens is, if you've got that type of insurance, I peg it, my kids would inherit the business, but they don't want to run the business.
Exactly.
They don't want to shut the other shareholders in the business don't want to shut the business. Mm. So the insurance actually pays my kids for their shares.
It pays your other business, your business, to buy the shares off.
To buy the shares,
so that you can continue trading.
Yeah.
Because what I feel really passionate about is that any business owner that's listening, anyone in this room, you can spend many years possibly putting your passion, your devotion, your time, your money into a business. If you're not in good health or you die, do you want it to stop straight away? I'm sure you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important.
Assuming that's all covered by a shareholders' agreement, of course.
You should,
because
that
needs to run.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Coincide with all of that.
But again, looking at that kind of insurance is probably a wake up call to review those kind of things, because a lot of businesses that have been around a long time haven't got anything like that in place, and so they need to go and talk to Catherine and the lovely people at SNS Law and get that sorted out as well.
And it's not necessarily about a cataclysmic event like a death. It could be a falling out, or it
I'm
could
always
be,
falling out. Me.
It could be one of the partners.
Yeah. Oh, shut up.
Getting divorced, in their private life. And then, that shareholding becomes part of the settlement with their spouse.
Been there too.
And then all of a sudden you've got your business partner spouse owning, half of your business.
But the stats are that less than 50% of SMEs have a will, a company will, or any kind of insurance in place. So that's quite a big gap.
Mm. Absolutely. Fascinating topic, Joanne. Sorry, that we are almost at the end of the 2 hours, would you believe? Thank you so much for that. If people want to find out more about the whole range of things you do, mortgages, insurances, business protection, all those kind of things, how can they do that?
The website is scarletfs.com. That's Scarlet with two T's, fs.com. And the best email address is info@scarletfs.com.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Do you see what I did there? Scarlet, sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. That was really brilliant. Thank you very much. I've had loads of tweets. Jules is in form this afternoon. I don't know what's wound her up.
What's she been up to?
I don't know. But I'm only going to read one of her tweets because the rest of them are nonsense. She says, join us for Slope Off Friday. Fabulous Kent venue. Great food and business networking. Contact her to find out the next event. And that's Jules Sirkin on the Twitter. I've also had a tweet from Business Bunker Extra. The lovely Amanda, and she says, please remind everybody, Paul, that we go live next Friday, 11 till 12, with the second Business Bunker show of the week, a one-hour Business Bunker Extra show launching next Friday, and they can tweet in for a shout-out. And they've even got their own Twitter handle, which is Bunker Extra with an X, X-T-R-A. So that's the lovely Amanda going to do the second Business Bunker show of the week on a Friday from 11 till 12, starting
next Friday.
And it's not starting next Friday, Amanda. It's starting Friday after, the 28th. There's a Friday in between.
No, that's next Friday.
No, next Friday is the 21st.
It's the 21st this Friday.
This Friday. Yeah.
So it's next Friday.
No, the next Friday is in 3 days' time.
That's this Friday.
Paul.
See, so it's so many arguments.
You're not going to win
Hold
that
on,
one.
Argue with him.
You're not going to win
Come on, Catherine.
That. It's next Friday, the 28th.
The Friday.
I'm going to stick with mortgages, because one of the things that Joanne and her team do really well is, apart from the fact they're whole of market, they are all about collaborating with the mortgage providers. And Metro Bank have just come out with a 90% lifetime value mortgage offer with very, very low interest rates. And I know that we had this conversation last week, the fact that you can tap into that as a product. So I don't have to rely on my surfing the internet or looking on Supply My Business or wherever, I can just come to you and be reassured that actually you're going to find me the best offer.
Yeah, as a broker, we can look to all of the lenders, but more importantly, make sure they're a lender that suits you.
Yeah.
So, a self-employed person that falls out of trees.
Mm. Yeah, thank you.
Cool. I've had a tweet from Home Instead TW, or their Twitter handle is homeinstead_. And it says, Vanilla Web, Supply My Business, Business Bunker, please can you mention our Tunbridge Dementia Friendly Business Exchange event on the 28th of April? That'll be Friday week. That'll be the Friday after next. And it's a free event, and it's, it's at the Angel Centre, Angel Lane, Tunbridge, on Friday the 28th, and it's from 3:30 in the afternoon until 6 p.m. And it's supported by a whole range of people, including Tunbridge Dementia Friendly Community, Home Instead, Dementia Friendly, Warner Solicitors, Abbey Funeral Services, and Tom Tuggenhat, who's the local MP. So do get along to that. It's a free event, the Tunbridge Dementia Friendly Business Exchange, Friday the 28th at the Angel Centre.
Quick shout out for a lady called Louise Carter. Louise, hi. She runs, Louise runs a company called Smile While You Dial. And they're a very interesting business in that they do exactly that. They do exactly what it says on the tin. Mm-hmm. So they help businesses, and it could be a firm of solicitors or accountants, for example, to actually go through training with their staff to help them answer the phone more efficiently, more friendly, so that ultimately the customer gets the experience that you want them to have, and it's consistent, basically. So every time somebody answers the phone, they get that same response. So she runs her own training company, Smile While You Dial. That's Louise Carter. Please give her a follow on the Twitter.
Cool. Lovely. Nice one. It's now that time.
Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time.
Oh. Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
Channel Radio News Update.
Is it the Channel Radio News Update now, Paul?
It is.
Have you got a jingle for that?
I have, and I've played it twice. Go. It's the FSB News Update.
Oh, it's me. Okay.
Yes, it is.
So broadband and landline customers who suffer poor service could get millions of pounds back automatically under a scheme proposed by Ofcom. So I had no broadband whatsoever for the entire Easter weekend, so that is welcome news to me. The Telecom Watchdog has published proposals to make providers pay for slow repairs and missed deadlines and appointments. It estimates that as many as 2.6 million customers could receive up to a total of £185 million in compensation payments each year under the scheme. So we look forward to updating on that soon, but I think that's definitely what's needed.
Cool. I've got a range of events that are happening on the FSB Canada in the next few weeks. I'm not going to give you the booking details for all of these because you can find them all by going to campusesradio.co.uk and clicking on the FSB tab. But I'm just going to run through what's going on. The 19th of April, that's this week, that's Wednesday. No, Thursday, isn't it? Tomorrow. It's tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah, Wednesday. It's the FSB Connect networking event in Tenterton with guest speaker David Taylor, and that's at the Secret Pantry, which is 100 the High Street, Tenterton. On the 27th of April is the FSB Connect networking in Tunbridge with guest speaker David Taylor again. And then on the 10th of May, the FSB are main sponsors and have a large stand at the Kent Vision Live exhibition, which is the big county exhibition at the county showground. On the 11th of May is Save the Date Women in Business Brunch in Sevenoaks. On the 17th of May, we're back in Tenterton for more Tenterton networking at the Secret Pantry. Thank you. On the 18th of May, FSB Women in Business Golf Taster Session at the Tudor Marriott Hotel. At the 27th of June is the FSB Women in Enterprise Essential Business Tools to Untap Your Potential. And the 30th of June is the Skills 3030, which I think you've got an email about anyway, and you can read some more details about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will in a minute, but I just want to get this one out of the way first. There's a new lifetime ISA that the government are introducing. So it's a new individual savings account. I think this is quite important. There's an awful lot of talk at the moment about auto-enrolment. And basically, if you employ anybody in your business, you are subject to the legislation regarding auto-enrolment. This is specifically targeted at self-employed people, so people that aren't employing anybody in their business. And what it will enable you to do, you need to be under 40, but you can put up to £4,000 a year into this new ISA, and the government will top up the savings with a 25% bonus. So a little bit old school, really, in terms of how it used to be done. So that's hopefully, I believe that is actually already in place from this new tax year. So worth looking out for.
Absolutely. There's a new charge for hiring non-EU workers. From this month, businesses face an annual fee to employ each new worker from outside the European Economic Area on a Tier 2 skilled workers visa. The standard so-called immigration skills charge is £1,000 a year. Although there is a small business lower rate that you have to qualify for, which is £364 a year.
There is a new childcare choices website that the government have set up, which basically highlights all their latest childcare offers, as they call them. So it's called Childcare Choices, government website. On April the 28th, the government will be introducing the tax-free childcare scheme for parents of the youngest children and will be gradually rolled out for all parents through 2017. Tax-free childcare will replace childcare vouchers and provide tax relief for both employees and, for the first time, self-employed. So if you've got young children and you are in full-time employment, whether working for somebody or working for yourself, childcarechoices.gov.uk should be a good reference point for you in terms of tax credits that are available.
Cool. There's a VAT flat rate scheme change. There are changes to the tax rates and eligibility criteria for some small businesses which use the VAT flat rate scheme rather than the standard VAT system. The change affects those deemed to be a limited cost trader, where your VAT inclusive expenditure is a very, very small chunk of your turnover. If you want to find out more, go to fsb.org.uk and they will tell you the new rules.
This is an event that's been gathering momentum, and I know you're behind this as well, Paul. Are you ready to pass on your business advice? Could you inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs? Perhaps you've thought about hiring an apprentice, but are not sure if young people have the skills you need for your business. So get involved now if you have the chance. The fourth FSB Skills 3030 event will give you the chance to forge strong links with a local school, share your experience of running a business, and meet potential young employees. While students take part in workshops, business owners find out about hiring an apprentice and the new Kent County Council Guild Initiative. Then both groups meet together for facilitated speed networking. So who's that aimed at? It's really targeted at business owners, business managers, employers, HR managers and recruitment company owners. It's taking place at the Wilmington Academy this time, which is in Dartford on the 30th of June from 10 till 1. In the afternoon, and that's you can find all the details on the Kent Business Radio website.
You can indeed, and that brings us to the end of the FSB News.
Channel Radio News Update.
We're at the end of the show now. I just want to remind you that I will see you all at the Stag Plaza on this Friday at the Seven Oaks Business Show. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. this Friday, as I say, the Stag Plaza, London Road, Seven Oaks. The first 100 people to arrive get a free goodie bag. There's lots going on. There's business networking, presentations and exhibits. It's a fabulous event. Do come along. I will be there all day and I will see you there. But that's it for another show. We've reached the end of the Business Bunker show. I just want to say a big thank you to all of our guests today. Pete Cohen on the phone, Munya Badsey, Catherine Holt and Joanne Osborne. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. Coming up on Channel Radio for the rest of the day, at 4 o'clock we have Natalie Benaig with the Kent Creative Arts Show. At 5 o'clock, Mr. Craig Avery with the Craig Avery Show. And at 7 o'clock we have a brand new show, which is Joe Whaler with the Rockabilly Show. And then, as always, we finish off the last thing this evening with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
That's it for another week. See you next week.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.